Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you on this beautiful summer day?
I am fine, Cindy, and yourself?
Oh, everything's good. People have been emailing me and letting me know that they've been trying to do their 15 minutes of activity just for themselves, whether it's
nice.
They're sitting outside for 15 minutes or going for a little walk, reading from a book. So I'm really glad that people are just taking that little 15-minute moment to just remember. Sometimes we just need to do something a little mindless and fun. Otherwise, life gets to be really difficult, doesn't it? It gets to be hard. Hard.
Sometimes
I mean, what I heard
to remind yourself that it's not that bad.
Right, and you know, I just heard before you came on that your computer is running slow, and you have to do the maintenance of the computer, and you have to do that. Yeah, there's always something nowadays because of electronics, something that needs maintaining.
Oh yes.
You know, and you know, sometimes we've got to fix something because we own so much stuff now that you know that. That, you know, something's always breaking. But we also have to remember that we have to maintain ourselves and our spirit. And sometimes that's that 15 minutes a day just can really replenish that spirit. And, you know, and I hope it involves something outdoors because it's nice to get some air and be out there and, you know, this beautiful time of year. And, you know, right. So, how is everything in your marriage? I got an email, someone asking, how is your marriage? I'm having trouble hearing you. I'm not sure if your phone is cutting in or out. Hello, Nicole. Yes, I can hear you better now. Yeah.
Okay,
so how long have you been married now? Like, 2 years yet, or?
No, we're going to be 3 years in October.
Wow, so it is that long. Wow.
Yeah.
Boy. So how is it feeling? Who knew?
It feels like it did the first day.
Wow. It's wonderful. And so you didn't have that rough first year like a lot of people have with a marriage.
Not at all.
Wow.
Honestly, it didn't even really feel that different when we got married, you know, like we had been together since 2000 and I want to say 10, you know, because, you know, we kind of dated in 2010 and then we got serious in 2011, you know, so it's been a while now that we've been together and, you know, but we were living.
Right. So now it's, you know,
and what we did, it was really very little. There was not a lot that changed.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad to hear that because it's always nice to hear that someone's very happily married and that this does really exist. The happily ever after does exist. Okay. You know, yeah. Sometimes you wonder, but yes, it does. And, you know, that's the best news I've heard all day. Because mostly, you know, what I deal with is relationships falling apart and trying to put some of them back together. And, you know, it's always nice to hear one that works. But that's because you really did a lot of your inner homework and your healing before.
Uh-huh.
So that it didn't all come to, you know, haunt you.
Serious.
Right.
We took a year before we got serious where we just, like, we dated, but we were allowed to, you know, we were allowed to see other people. And, you know, even though we kind of were into each other, we were still, you know, we didn't put the label on it, you know. And I said, you know, when we had the conversation of what it was that we were doing, you know, I said, listen, you know, we'll revisit this in a year because I really don't think that, you know, because I was coming off of a bad relationship. She was coming off of a bad relationship, you know. So both of us in the very, very beginning were very anti-relationship, you know. So we set ground rules, and I said, well, we'll visit this a year from now. And a year to the day, we had a conversation of, okay, listen, we got to shit or get off the pot. And we decided that, you know, that we were going to make a go of it and see what happens, you know, and take every day, you know, one day at a time. And, you know, and then one day at a time grew into, okay, let's take it, you know, in the near future and then see what happens. And, you know, before we knew a longer time together. And then, you know, by the time that we got married, you know, we were in that group. We respected each other as if we were married, even though we weren't, you know. So for us getting married, it was a great day to have a party. And, you know, it was a great weekend that, you know, we went on a little getaway that weekend. And that was that, you know. I mean, we got back home and it was like, wow, we're married, you know. It, like, didn't really feel much different.
Wow. But that's a good story. And of course, it's something we, you know, we believe in this committed relationships and making them work. So, it's funny how though people will email me, you know, little things about, well, you know, how's Nicole's marriage? Cause we didn't brought that up in a while, you know, is everything good? And I'm like, yes, everything's good.
They just want to make sure.
Yeah. They just want to make sure they this is still going and checking up and, you know, seeing how you're doing. So I'm loving that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think we have to tell people if they want to talk to us what they have to do, you know, because we have a lot of listeners. But if they want to talk to us, they're going to have to press the number 1.
A lot of people have just wanted us to talk recently. I don't know what's going on with everybody. But, yes, if you do want to talk to us, please press the number 1. That will put you into the call-in queue, and then I will know that I need to screen you. So please press the number 1 if you want to talk to Cindy or myself.
Right. And, you know, you can pick up the first person there.
Yep.
Oh, but they moved down and
you know
unpressed.
That person. Are they crazy?
I think we do, but they had pressed 1
okay.
And now they unpressed it. So
I still see somebody with number 1 pressed, and then I see 2 people with the number pressed, and now people start to press number 1. So I'm guessing you just want to go to the person that's been holding the longest. So
right,
as usual,
exactly.
We don't screen our first caller. So we're hoping that they're sane and they don't hijack our show because we're still damaged from that experience. And just so that you know that we're speaking to you, the last 4 digits of your phone number are 1882. And then I will get into the chat room. So let's see who wants to talk to Cindy for right now. Hello, 1882. You are on the air.
Hi there, Cindy. Hi, Nicole.
Okay, so we know this voice, but they might not know it. So tell us your name.
Oh, I know this voice.
Jennifer.
Oh,
okay.
Jennifer.
Okay, now, funny, Jennifer, because we love you. You know that. And and it was so important, your last call, because you were asking us about this big move and everything, and we were kind of saying, well, you don't know enough, and maybe it's not going to happen, so you have to think about it, and then the move didn't happen. So
that's
I think we learned from your call.
I said flat out, don't do it.
Well, actually, my last call was about me losing my job.
Oh, that was the call before. Okay, yes, I do remember. And now, have you found another one?
I have not found another one. However, you did say that, you know, you could or you might not. It's not decided. And the very next day, I had to go into a meeting with a bunch of people, and 7 of us got laid off. And I've never been in that situation before. But I talked to my supervisor. She said, I didn't know until this morning. So she didn't even know.
Right. And remember, I told you it wasn't decided. Okay. I remember, you know, now it's coming back. It wasn't decided what they were going to do. But, you know, the one thing that you have to trust is your gut now, because your gut was thinking something wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
my gut was thinking something wasn't right.
And, you know, what we need to, if like we ever have a job and we think it's in jeopardy or it's not going to be there, that's the day we start putting resumes out. you know, because you start reading the writing on the wall. I do see you finding something. Do you want to do in the same field, or are you going to try for something different here?
I don't know that I could get into the same field because it was government. So I liked the position itself, but I'm open to pretty much anything.
Okay. And because the card that I got is that you have to pick up some new skills and learn something new. And, you know, I hope you're ready to learn. And, you know, it looks like, you know, he's got the Justice card next to it, which is you were due to do something else. Were you starting to feel like you had enough of that job?
No, but I could see that eventually I would, but it was such a large organization that I was taking courses so that I could better myself. So, ironically, as I finish my course, I lose the position. At least they paid for my course, though.
Yeah, but isn't it funny how, like, I know you're in Canada, but with government jobs, you know, everybody thinks you're secure. Not really. Corporate jobs, not really secure. You know, what makes you secure is your own hard work. I mean, you're a hardworking person. You will find another job. Are you enjoying some of your downtime a little bit?
I am. However, I've been through this before, and I'm the kind of person that needs some structure to my day. I'm not very self-regulating.
Well, that's part of your lesson now, because are you putting out resumes? Are you heavy-duty job hunting? Because it is a full-time job to find a job. So,
I have been. I've had one interview. But I'm not in a rush because it is summer. And, you know, Canada, we only get nice weather a couple months a year.
Right. But let's put it this way. At least an hour a day, you have to be job hunting. You have to look through the, you know, the websites, look through things, you know, put out resumes, because it does take time to find another job. But it looks like maybe 2-3 months you should have something else. So if you put your mind to it, you know, it's always awful to have to find a new job, by the way. People like the devil they know. So just looking for this new job, it's a pain. Are you working on some of your interview skills? Because that's something that looks like you're a little rusty on here.
I should probably work more on putting together a very good cover letter, which I know how to do, but I haven't been so great about it. I have been applying, and I think my resume is okay. I think my cover letter needs a little bit of work. My interview skills, I think, are okay, but I haven't. I had two interviews at my old job, and I got, they met with me, and I made it up to the senior vice president, but I haven't heard back since then.
Okay, for instance, if I was interviewing you and I asked you what was your worst trait, what would you answer?
I would not answer perfectionism because that's stupid. when people say that, I just think they're full of shit. I value my friends and family, and I would say in a workplace, I will make sure to keep my friends and family in mind, and I'm there for them. So sometimes I will set aside my work, but I'll make up for it later to tend to the needs of my family members.
Okay, you won't get the job.
No.
No.
What's the answer to that question?
You will not get that job, okay? You will not get that job. The answer has to be something like, you know, you tend to do everything to the law of maximum effort. I do, you know.
Oh, that's
anything.
Such BS.
Okay, but again, that's the answer they want. Okay. They don't want to hear about your family coming first. Nobody gives a shit about your family.
I swear like a sailor. That's my worst quality.
Okay. But at work, I try not to. Okay.
Yeah.
But you always have to say a trait that doesn't really come across as a negative. That's why when they say perfectionism, that's a negative, but in a job, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you can't actually answer that question truthfully. Okay, you know, like, so,
I used to do job interview, you know, training things and write resumes for people. So
yeah.
I'm just saying you're not great at interviews. So YouTube it, go to YouTube and look at like your typical interview questions. You really want sound bites, as if like if you're doing it, we're doing a television show, or I was doing a television show, or doing the radio, you know, try to talk off the top of your head because you could say something really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So usually you have your sound bites. So you, with their questions they're going to ask you, you want to work in your sound bites that make you sound like the best worker, the best person for the job. So you want to work on having answers that you're not going, and you also want a little questions that, you know, something you could say, because sometimes they do the silent treatment. They're not saying anything and they're just waiting for you to talk. And that's when you can really put your foot in your mouth.
Yeah.
So you want to have something planned to go, oh, I did my research on this company and I really was very impressed about their new product they have coming out. So you could talk about that you've done your homework, you've done some research for the job. So you come across, you did your homework, you've done knowledge. You don't just spew off the top of your head, okay? So got to work on those interview skills.
All right.
So, all right. I mean, it's always one of those things people think they're good at, and they go, it's kind of like an audition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, they have for actors, like whole courses on how to audition, okay? So if auditioning was easy, they wouldn't have that. Interviewing is also similar. Of course, I would want you to be yourself. You have a great sense of humor, which you would want to work into any job interview. Because mostly what they're looking for is, besides your skills, emotional intelligence. Can you get along with people? Do you have an easygoing personality? These things are important. So, come across like you have a nice, easygoing personality and everything, and you're funny. But because I just, you know, your spirit guide just told me Jennifer's a little rusty in the interview department. So, a little rusty. And, again, if you're going to start answering truthfully and, you know, you never want to say you put your family first or anything like that, because, you're supposed to do that in the real world, but really in a job, they don't want to hear that. They want to just hear that, my thing would be like, you could answer, my worst quality might be to my family that when I'm working, my work comes first and they're, if they're calling me or something like that, they know they have to like, unless it's a life or death, don't call me,
Mm-hmm.
So that would be something like you could say what your family might think, but, because everybody in my world knows that when I'm doing readings, you don't call me. People pay a lot of money for reading. My attention has to be there. Like, no, don't bother me when I'm working because I'm not picking up.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't happening. So figure out what you want to be doing, what kind of job you might want to be doing. But just enjoy your little downtime, but not so much that you're not keep looking, because if you wait until September, do they have unemployment in Canada?
Yeah, they've got unemployment, so I haven't got it the first one yet, but I have been applying. I was applying while I was still there because they gave me 3 weeks' notice, so that's I just spent my days applying for things. But I do find, I know you said lie, just to say what they want to hear, but I also
not
find
lie,
that...
Not lie, but come up with something that, not lie, but come up with something that is a negative, but not really.
But
okay.
Shouldn't it be truthful, though?
Yeah, to be truthful. Like, my truthful is that, family and friends, if they call me when I'm working, don't expect an answer. And
okay.
For them, they may think that's my worst trait. Okay, my family might think that's my worst trait. But it's really, for a job, it's a good trait. You must have something that's a trait that's, can be seen like a bad trait, but it's really good. Don't you have any of those?
Oh, yeah, when I'm doing a job in sales, I'm always answering the phone, both because when you're dealing with small business people, they want an answer right away. They want to be able to get a hold of someone right away. You don't have to have it done right away, but they want to make sure that they make contact and the ball's in your court. So often that'll mean taking my attention away from a task at hand in order to find out what my client needs.
Right, so you say that you put the customer first above another task that you might have to do. and stuff like that. But, you know, the point is not to lie, but not to be so truthful, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people say, oh, I'm always late. Mm, you're not getting a job. Okay, I have trouble getting up in the morning. Nobody wants to hear these things. You know what I mean? Like,
well, the real answer is, I hate that question. That's a stupid question.
But it is a question that's answered, that's asked a lot in interviews.
It is, but it's such a dumb question.
But again, again, you could say, you know, what's my worst trait? That I hate this question.
That I hate this question. And I'll tell you that I hate the question.
Yeah, I hate the question.
Skip next.
Next. I mean, you don't want to say I have no bad traits, really. You know, we find that hard to believe too. And you know what I mean? Just come up with something that you answer that doesn't really make a person say, why the hell would she answer? Why the hell would she say that? You know what I mean? I mean, you could make a joke of it. Really? You're asking me that seriously? But, you know, you have to have a person who has a sense of humor, and you don't know that with these jobs. And human resources people really take this very seriously, these questions, you know? So,
oh, they do.
You know, they take their job very seriously. I would tell you not to lie, but to be yourself, your best self, you know, showing that you laugh a lot, you're easy to get along with, and things like that. You know, be yourself. But, you know, just don't answer something really negative, you know. I remember, when I was doing this, you know, for a little while as a way to make extra money, I remember seeing in a trade magazine, people would be answering things like, well, I smoke pot every day. I mean, I was like...
Finding cocaine is a full-time job.
You know what I mean? So just, you know, have an answer. And, you know, we have some, callers on and, you know, that we know. So, you know, maybe we could put, like, Jean on for a minute. Like, I'll hook, because Jean's really good at job interviews. So I want to ask Jean Steele. Jean, what kind of answer would you give if somebody asked you on the job, you know, what's your worst trait for an interview? What would you say?
My worst trait is never not thinking of the job that I'm presently doing.
Okay, so you're obsessed with, you know, you're obsessed with your job when you have it.
That, when I was in HR, those are one of the questions that if a person answered that, then you hired them immediately. If anyone said there anything about family, because I've been listening, anyone about that, you automatically got X's across the top of your application. They were not hiring you.
Right. That's what I was trying to tell her. And I knew you would verify what I'm saying. Nobody wants to hear about your family, okay, except if you say something like I said where my family gets really mad because I don't pick up the phone.
Right. Well, that's it. That's the same thing as mine. You're 100% devoted. Between my work hours, what I would say is I am looking forward to go above and beyond my abilities to make a better way within this company.
Right, exactly. And that tends to be when you're very focused, when you're doing something, you're very focused
right.
on it and you keep your focus. Again, you can never, and she says, you know, should I lie? We're not saying lie, but just don't tell the truth that's going to hang you.
Okay, I've got it. I'm competitive. Is that a good one?
Yes.
You are competitive. I am very competitive, but I am a team player.
Right.
Okay, good. That's what
you have to say. You're a team.
Right.
Yes, I'm competitive. But
if you just say competitive, means you're going to be cutthroat, and that bitch that answers the phone, you're not going to want to talk to because you could do better than that.
Right. Exactly.
Oh,
and that's what I was saying. They want to see that you're a person that has emotional intelligence and gets along with others. Like what they're looking for is, are you a team player?
You're a team player.
Right.
That's
somehow
these
are the sound bites you want to work into the interview somehow or other, you know.
Right.
And that's why I said have fun with it. But, you know, Jean, it seems to be a person that gets a lot of jobs that she goes on interviews for her, and she has a few, like, she has a black mark on her that, you know, that might make it harder for her to get a job than you would get, and yet she still gets these jobs. So
yeah, you have to do on the interview, you have to be positive, first of all, if you like the job or not. You know, it's your choice. If they offer it to you and you don't want the job, you have the option of saying no. But when you go in there, you have to be positive. You have to make believe, even if you're not a team player. And you have to look at the situation that you want to better, you want to bring all your past abilities and thoughts and ideas to your company to better it, to make, you know, make it profitable in this day and age.
Exactly. And I like the way she said make believe. She didn't say lie. You got to make believe.
Same as you're trying to balance your checkbook, I call it creative financing. Called creative interviewing.
So we love like it. The make believe, okay? Okay, so, you know, and again, Jennifer, we want you to call in after you've done some of the YouTubing and how to answer the stupid interview questions without looking stupid, okay? And without, like, putting your foot in your mouth.
Rolling your eyes.
Rolling, because sometimes people just, you're only supposed to answer the question, too. Don't answer more than they're asking, because then you put your foot in your mouth, too. Okay?
They're also going to ask you how important is your cell phone.
Oh, that's a new one.
Oh, that's what we ask now. How important is your cell phone? Could you go 4 hours without looking at it?
No.
Well, I have to. At work, we have to.
Right.
That's when you go to the satellite office, which is the bathroom.
Right.
That's it.
Do you know how many cell phones in the last 2 weeks my owner or his daughter have taken from people and given back at lunchtime?
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah. Well, that's
so
like...
that's the question they ask.
So, you know, you get the 21st century questions here. And again, you know, you, Jennifer, you have a great sense of humor, and you know. But what we're seeing here is, like, you know, believe me, I haven't worked for anybody in 40 years. So believe me, I would, like, you know, tell them to fuck off if they ask me these questions. Okay, I'm not in your position, so we have to get rid of some of that little bit of attitude. And, you know, that you're invading my privacy by answering these questions, which they are, okay? That they are stupid questions.
But
and, you
know,
but we want you to get the job. So you're going to learn how to play the interview game. Okay?
I will, for you.
Okay. For me. And then you know what you'll be doing? Because you'll be laughing. When you hear the questions, you're going to, like, inside laugh. And you're going to leave the interview, and you're going to laugh because you know you're going to think of us, you know, telling you these things. And you'll just have a better time of it. But you don't want to be, like, thrown a question that you can't answer, or that, you know, you answer truthfully, and meanwhile they just don't hire you for it. And, again, it's like big no-no is mention a family, okay? Like,
right.
Nobody cares about your family. They don't. If you think that they do in the corporate world, you're like in la la land, because they care about them and their bottom line and their profit and, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm glad you called in and let us know about the job, because, you know, certain times, you know, we try to focus a little on career here too, but I do see you getting something. You're going to have to learn somewhat of a new skill. So I hope you're okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
The money looks actually good. So, but you
like
can't.
Like six figures good?
Yeah, like good. Very good. And if you're going to get a six-figure job, you're going to have to do an interview like a six-figure person, okay?
Good thinking, yes.
I know, it's funny. As you get older, I mean, that's why I couldn't possibly ever get interviewed now. Really, I couldn't possibly. I mean, it'd just be like driving me nuts. You know, I remember once I was, you know, this radio station asked me to, like, do a radio show for them. And then I get the HR girl didn't know who I was when I came in. She gave me this, like, application. It was like, did you graduate from high school? And I was like, I just years old. Who asked these questions? Do you know what I mean? I was like, let's go ahead. And they go, oh, my God, I wasn't supposed to give that to you. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, I was getting an attitude answering those questions because they weren't, you know, I was supposed to be interviewed that way. I was supposed to go in and do a radio show. And I was supposed to, you know, really, you care if I'm a high school graduate? I'm the psychic on the show. Do you know what I mean? Like, you should have, like, looked up my website before this. But the questions they were asking were so absurd on there. And I realized, you know, they were for, like, kids just, you know, 18 years old. So I understand how you can have a little bit of attitude about these questions, but you can't in an interview. Well, Jennifer, thank you for calling in, and we're going to pray that you get a job, and you'll call in again and let us know.
Okay? I will. Thank you very much.
And you can call in before you get a job, but I'd like to hear from you about your interview skills, how you're working on them.
Thank you. All right.
Okay. Bye. And Jean, I want to thank you for your, you know, your input with that, because I know you're really good with stuff like this. And
thanks.
You know, that's, and we always need to hear from somebody like you.
Thanks.
All right. Well, I'm good. We're going to put on the next caller, which is Amanda.
We go to Amanda.
Okay.
And do you know who Amanda is, Cindy?
I know who Amanda is because I have seen Amanda through a marriage, a divorce, breakup, a couple of career changes. I've known her since she's probably 18 years old. And now
she said you would know for the moment I said the name Amanda, and you did not disappoint.
And she also sang in Beethoven in my play. So I know she was one of the chorus members, so I know her very well. So, Amanda... Amanda also emailed me today that she has tomatoes for me, which I love tomatoes. And so,
I love it. Where's
Italian,
my tomatoes, Amanda?
Tomatoes.
That's what I would like to know. Yeah. Thing.
The tomatoes are the most important part of the story. Amanda has tomatoes.
I have a kick-ass tomato salad, I'm just saying.
I have lots of tomatoes, and I have lots of zucchini, too.
I like zucchini, too.
I do fabulous things with zucchini as well.
Yeah,
we don't want to go there. We don't want to go there, Nicole. You know.
Well, you should, though. I've got a nice pool. I've got a beautiful view over a pond. I've got plenty of things to make drinks.
Great.
I have a margarita
right
machine.
A margarita machine. I didn't even know there was such a thing. I thought it was a blender.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Wow.
I have a margarita machine. And it is delicious.
Oh,
wow.
Just saying.
Just saying. Some people have the life. Just saying. Just saying here. Some people have the life. Margarita machines.
Listen,
literally think of neck.
I'm just saying that this too can be yours for a bunch of fresh zucchini and tomatoes. I am just saying.
Well, that's how she ended up getting our friend Jean Steele to make her a beautiful crochet bedspread that I had already. And then she got one from Jean.
Yes,
so.
Tell you something.
All
on
right,
my cold winter night, it's awesome.
It's so cuddly. I know. Mine is very cuddly,
oh,
too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay, so Amanda, I know you have a new job and a lot on the horizon, so you want to, why don't you update us on what's happening in your life?
Besides the tomatoes, I've been taking definitely way more than the 15 minutes that you recommended.
Oh, good.
There's some days where I garden all day. Like, I'm outside picking weeds and just... I love gardening now.
Let me see how she's changed and grown. This is all new. Like, Amanda's a person who she just picks up new skills, new stuff. She was a girl who probably barely walked, and now she runs marathons. Like,
that's right. Well, one half marathon turned into two half marathons. Which I actually just went running for the first time in 3 weeks because I've just been working like crazy. You know, just trying to pay off all my bills from when I was unemployed. I was very, very much happy to get back into it. And then I did some gardening when I got home. And I'm actually about to go to an audition for a band tonight. So.
Oh, so you needed me to tell you how great you are at singing and everything else, and you're going to really – so you're going on an audition, so that's kind of like a job interview.
Of course.
But I'm sure they're not going to ask you what your worst trait is, okay? But do you have a song prepared for this? Do you have a song prepared and everything?
Oh, yeah. Well, we went over what we were going to do tonight, and I'm pretty confident that I'm not too worried about it, to be honest.
Okay, good. And I'm going to shuffle up your cards. Now, I know that one of the things that's been on your mind is your soulmate coming? And yes, your soulmate is coming. You know, Amanda has no trouble meeting men, but some of them have been not the knight in shining armor that we would want.
No.
But yes, a little bit more standing on your own two feet without a man. And then
what's
your soulmate's going to come.
What's a little bit more, like a few months or like a month or two?
I don't even think it's going to be that long, actually. I think this summer, it looks like love is supposed to manifest this summer.
Oh, okay. I like that.
So, you know, just keep doing the things you're doing, going on auditions, going out, meeting people, doing all the things you do, because you know, you seem to meet people wherever you go because you have a nice outgoing personality. You're not afraid to talk.
Nope.
So I did get the husband card. So this is supposed to be sort of the long-term soulmate, you know, future. You know, it's also, you know, you were in a long-term relationship in a marriage that didn't work out. So you needed a little time to experience dating. And it looks like pretty soon you're going to be tired of the dating. And you'll be ready for that, this nice committed relationship. There's actually nothing bad in your cards. This job you've just got now. Now remember, you know, you switched careers, and you're going back to school for nursing. And at first you were just going to try to do a Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts, and the universe had better job in mind for you. And you might want to tell our listeners what you're doing now because they'll be very impressed with what you're doing.
I think so. I do. I feel like what I'm doing now is kind of correlates a lot with, you know, obviously what I'm going to be doing later on when I graduate. But it gets hard sometimes because I feel like I'm more capable, you know, than what I'm actually doing.
Okay, so tell our listeners what you're doing because they don't know what you're doing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I was a paramedic for the fire department for 5.5 years. And which is basically like a step below a nurse kind of thing, except, you know, on a truck. And I'm now working at CityMD Urgent Care, as a scribe. So basically what I do is I just, you know, I'm in charge of documenting, you know, the doctor's charts and stuff. And, you know, I just, obviously I feel a little underutilized right now, but I'm sure it'll get better eventually.
Yes, it will. But at least you're in the medical field, so that, you know, you're not working in Dunkin' Donuts. That's not going to help you being a nurse. So this is good. Enjoy the job. It, you know, looks like they like you. You have nothing bad in your cards. You actually have a very good year opening up here. So, you know, focus on your school, focus on your nursing, and, you know, nothing's bad. You actually... I mean, Amanda, we always bring on the show because she's a person who tends to manifest, like, things she wants. They just fall in her lap, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, she decides she wants to have a garden with tomatoes and zucchinis. Meanwhile, she's got this fabulous thing going on there, okay? Like, most people can't just, like, they might want to do it, but they may not grow that many tomatoes because they don't know what they're doing. Somehow, everything you do manifests.
It's like my spirit guides tell me what to do. I don't know. I literally went in the backyard and I said, I'm going to start a garden. And I just started, I started digging and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And now I have like 10 different vegetables back there, all of which are doing like spectacular. Like everything is growing. Everything is starting to like, you know, bloom and, you know, like vegetables like growing and like, it's crazy. Like, I harvested some basil this morning. I harvested some green beans. I'm like, wow, this is great.
Well, you see, this is what a woman does when she gets a divorce, okay? She learns to just make things grow and learn new things and expand her world.
When boys break up with her.
Right, when bad boys break up with her.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, she's out in the 21st century dating world, and we know that there's a whole vocabulary of dating terms that I have to learn as a dating expert from ghosting.
I don't even know dating terms. I don't even know them. I don't know. I hear a different term every day, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I have no idea. But then again,
okay.
I'm just an old soul anyway. So
right, but ghosting, we all know that's just when they disappear.
Yeah, we do.
Then there's back burner, where they just put you on the back burner for a while in case they want you.
Right.
Then the one that cracks me up is orbiting, which means they've ghosted you, and yet they still follow you on social media.
Yeah, which Corey does. I don't know. He unfollowed my page, but we're still friends. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he looks at my page or whatever, but, I mean, I don't even know why we're friends for. But I'm pretty sure he probably still looks once in a while, right?
Right, and that's what it is. So they orbit. To me, they all translate to he's a narcissist or she's a narcissist. Okay, because good people don't ghost. Good people don't put you on a back burner, or they don't crumb you, like send you a text every once in a while to see if they still got you. They don't do that stuff. But, you had to learn. You know, you were sort of with your ex-husband for a while, and you were out of the dating world, so you had to experience it. But now that you've learned, a great love is coming. So, do us a favor and call in again. We always like to hear from you and your positive energy and see just keep, if you're sort of brokenhearted, do what Amanda does. You go out and go on auditions. You plant a garden. You learn to do a marathon. You don't self-destruct. You do things
that
are healthier and happier. And,
That's it.
I mean, it's tempting to self-destruct, go there and get drunk. But it's better if, you focus on getting healthy during these times.
Yeah.
So that when your soulmate comes, you're happy and you're healthy.
Exactly. And I mean, I do have one question before I go.
Sure.
The lady from the FDOI investigation, she's like very adamant about contacting me, and like I pretty much shut the door on the fire department, even though, I sort of like reapplied just in case nothing came along. And so I pretty much haven't really, reached out or anything. And she keeps trying to get in touch with me. I'm not sure if, she's desperate to, she's desperate to get me back. I don't know why she keeps,
I would advise you to just call her and talk to her.
Yeah, because,
out of courtesy.
They're very short-staffed, and I feel like, because I wasn't interested, I feel like she's going to try and get me back somehow, and just like, no.
Okay, but you can always say no, but it's not nice that you're ghosting her. Like, she's calling you, and you're doing the ghosting, okay?
Well, I did call her. I did email her after she called me because I was at work. And then I tried calling her, and she hasn't called me back. So
all right, so good. Then if you don't want the job, then you don't have to call her back again. As long as you've contacted her, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. But it does look like she wants you back.
Okay.
So,
I can figure that.
Okay, she wants you back. So if you don't want the job back, just politely decline.
Yeah.
Okay, because remember, it's a small world, and, you never know where you might meet it. Again, sometimes.
Exactly. But I just think that that period of my life is done. It's exhausting. It was exhausting, and I'm getting used to having more time for myself now. So.
Good, and that's what we want. We want more time for yourself.
Yes. You like that.
Well, thank you for calling in. We're going to try to take one more caller.
Okay.
Good luck to you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, so we have Mary. Have we ever read Mary in New York, Future in general? I don't know.
I do not believe that we have.
I believe that Mary is new. She did not say that she knew you, so my guess is to say that Mary is new. And yes, Cindy, she just wants a general reading today. You know, she's like, what's going to happen in my future? So I said, well, do you want to know, you know, love or just everything? And she's like, what do you want to tell me? So,
okie doke.
Hello, Mary. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy. It's Mary. How are you?
Hi, Mary. What a pretty voice you have.
Thank you.
What's your birth date, the month, the day, and the year?
12/29/1962.
Okay. You're a really old soul. You've had a lot of lifetimes. Actually, this looks like a very good year coming up, 2019, for you.
Okay.
Career-wise, looks good. Are you happy with what you're doing now? Because I did get Ace of Pentacles, which could be something different if you're ready for a change. But
maybe something different would be good.
I mean, because the Ace of Pentacles doesn't come up unless a person's really starting to think, I want to do something else. And the good news about that card is that there is another career for you or something else to be doing. So, we sort of focused a little bit on the show about putting out those resumes, getting out there. Are you trying to find something
else?
Yes,
I am. I am. I've been sending my resume.
Okay, good, because you're going to get something else. It's a little bit different than what you've done.
Okay.
And you're going to have a little bit, you know, again, when you get an interview, the job interview, you're going to have to show how you can translate the skills you have to this new job. So that'll be something that you'll have to figure out in your own mind. Because remember, human resources people, they don't necessarily have the most creative mind. So if you're going to try to make a switch from one career to the next, you're going to have to show them how you have the skills to do that.
Right.
The skills you had in that job translate to this one. You've got the Justice card across from the Ace of Pentacles, which means in the laws of karma, it's due for you to have this new job. It's circling right near here, so you should probably get it in the next few months. So that's
great.
That's the happy part. Do you not have love in your life right now?
No, I do not.
Okay, because the reason I'm asking is because the alignment of cards shows finding love is linked to you getting a new job.
Oh.
So sometimes if, you know, older souls don't necessarily like to go online or shopping for people, you know.
Right.
So, but if you get a new job, you're going to meet new people. And it doesn't mean you're going to meet the guy necessarily at the job, but you could meet him through these people, or maybe he works in the building. So love is linked to you finding a new job.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I hope you're ready for love. I mean, you've got the Hangman card too, so your whole life's about to change. Are you ready for massive change?
I am ready. Big change.
Big change. I wouldn't see this alignment of cards unless you were ready. It's like, go forward. I mean, true love is going to change your whole life.
Wow,
and
that's great.
It's a good change. Whose mom has passed away?
No, none. I take care of my mom.
Is your mom's mother?
Yeah.
Do you remember her at all?
My mom lives with me. I take care of her.
No, your mom's mom. Do you remember her?
My grandma, yeah. Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah, because Grandma loves you like crazy, and she's thanking you because you take such good care of her daughter.
Aww.
That she would like someone to take good care of you. In other words, soulmate love comes from God and someone who died. She'd like to gift you with a soulmate.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And she watches over you. For those of you who are not familiar with the dead, they're allowed to come down to Earth about 100 hours a month. Your grandmother comes in your house quite a lot because you're there with your mom. She likes to watch television with your mom. She'll just sit there and keep her company.
Aww.
So, know that she adores you. In the past, you haven't always picked the best men. Do you know that?
I haven't. That's why I haven't dated in a while.
I mean, she said, you know, you're the original. You fall for the princes that become the beast. You have no
Absolutely.
Idea what you sign on for. Again, mm-hmm. you're an old soul. Older souls tend to want to see the good in everybody. They bring out the best in people. They give people the benefit of the doubt, and they don't trust their gut. I hope you're trusting your gut now with people.
Oh, I am. I could, basically tell people now. Well,
much better than I did before.
All right, so you're not the same person you used to be. So you don't have to be afraid to really get out there because, you know, at your age, it isn't going to take you more than 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour to figure out who
mm-hmm.
people are.
Exactly.
Okay? Whereas when we're younger, it might take us, you know, 20 years. But, mm-hmm. you know that you want to stay away from the narcissists, which are manipulating.
Oh, absolutely.
You want to stay away from them, if particularly if they're judgmental and not accountable
mm-hmm.
for their behaviors. I mean, a man at 50 should have something to show for it. Okay, you don't want to be with a man at 50 who's got nothing to show for it. Okay, like, you know, you don't want to be a nurse to him. You don't want to be a purse to him. You want to make sure the guy works hard, the person
right.
who's worked. Your grandma believes in people working hard, so believe me, the soulmate she picks works hard.
Okay.
He has money. He's loyal and he's trustworthy. And
oh.
I don't want you getting jaded because it's a fine line between Pollyanna, where you thought everybody was good, and
yeah.
where you're starting to think nobody's good. So how do we not become that? We trust our gut. So you also need a little time for yourself, like a few minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, half an hour, to do something just for you. Because you're getting a little burnt out between work and taking care of your mom and everything. Do you realize you're burning out a bit?
Oh, I do realize that, yes. Yep,
so
sure.
And an older soul doesn't need a lot of downtime, but they need a block of time, an hour or two, where it's just about you.
Okay.
So try to see if you can build in a little of that for yourself.
Okay.
Because you're getting exhausted. But money looks better with this new job.
Go ahead.
Again, this your grandmother had to pick someone who will like your mom as well, because, you know, you're like a team, you and your mom.
Good. That's wonderful
to
hear.
You know, so he will, you know, schmooze her over very easily, and she'll like him. Your dad has passed away?
Yes, he has.
Because, you know, he just entered the room now, and is a little apologetic to you. Do you know what that's all about?
No.
Okay, you know, do you miss him a lot?
Oh, my God, so much.
Because he doesn't like that his death has caused so much pain to you. Okay.
Oh.
This is a good man. It was hardworking, a man of his
yeah.
word. Put family first. You know, this is not a job
yeah.
interview. It's okay to put your family first. He put his family first.
Right.
And he was a man who never wanted to cause pain while he was on Earth. And
right.
he didn't want to be a burden, so he didn't want people wiping his ass and taking care of him. So
I know.
Once he was going to be a burden, he got out of here. But he didn't mean to cause this kind of pain. Like,
aww.
Imagine the son of a bitch is on Earth. They cause this pain every day. They drop dead with
oh,
soul
yes.
parade.
Right.
Good people never cause this pain, and then they die and they cause this enormous pain. It's one of the dualities of life, and he... You know, he's in your house a lot, too, by the way. He likes to walk around in it. He likes to keep you company. You know, he's sorry he's not here to help you more. And he
yeah.
would rest a lot more in peace if you had a good man beside you. So, you know he's in agreement with your grandma. Let's bring her a soulmate. If you need him, though, just talk to him. Do you talk to him?
I do, all the time.
Okay, because he loves to hear from you. He loves to hear from you. He loves when you're, you know, when you're happy, he loves to hear from you. You know, he likes where you and your mom are living. He said it's a really nice place. Do you like it now? Do you like where you're living?
We like it, but we're thinking of moving.
Okay, where would you like to go to?
I want to live near my son.
Okay. I mean, that's doable and possible for you. Okay, so how far away is the move?
No, it's Arizona.
Okay, so some of you looking for a new job, are you, like, thinking about applying in Arizona?
Yes.
Okay, because remember I told you, you know, you got the hangman card. That's a big change, okay? It's not
yeah.
like a little change. So, you know, your job, you know, it looks like a job in Arizona, living in Arizona is all doable. And, you know, your grandma and your father seem to know where you're going. So,
can they
you
tell
know,
me
your
where
dad
it is?
Does like where you live now. Do you own the place with your mom?
No, we don't. We sold our house and we live in an apartment right now.
Okay. So so it's not a big move for you. I mean, it's not a hard move then. You don't have to sell anything. You could just go.
I could just go, right.
Okay, good. Because your father says, you know, put out your resumes. He would like you near your son. I mean, that's,
yes.
You know, your father's a very family-oriented man.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
You know, and that all looks doable. I've spoken to your dad before, haven't I, on the other side?
I think you have, yes, you have.
Because I recognize, he goes, Cindy, you know me. And I'm like, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I remember you. Okay. And he's, because he's a very polite man. That's what I remember about him. And
yeah.
He thanked me like 3 times. He was like, I really wanted to talk to Mary today. And
aww.
Just tell her that we've got your back. So, you know, it takes a lot of courage. You got the courage card here. You need a little bit of courage. Moving to Arizona, it's a big move.
Yeah.
But you're not really happy here fully.
No, I'm not. No.
Anymore. And being near your son, you're not loving your job. And, you know, where you're living, okay. It's a nice enough place, but you're not loving it. Looks, your father said you can get a much better place in Arizona.
Yeah, so much better. And less money, too.
Right. So he's very, you know, he says we're packed and ready to go. So,
oh, good.
I got the rest in peace card because he seems to have needed to talk to you today. To let you know he's always around. He really wants you to allow them to bring you this soulmate. You've been alone a while now. Are you getting tired of it?
Yes, I am.
Good.
I really need a break right now. I need, you know, some love in my life.
Right. So you need someone recharging your batteries because you're really just going to work. You know, you take care of your mom, you take care of the place, you know, but nobody's really nurturing you.
No.
And it's not that your mom doesn't mean to, but you just need some fun, too. Your dad says we need a little more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you can be closer to invite over with the margarita machine. I don't know. But
yeah,
you know,
that would be fun.
Your dad's like, we just need a little fun. And
right.
There's a job waiting for you in Arizona, so start just applying. And
I am going to start applying. I just don't know if I should get an apartment or buy a condo. It's just perplexing me.
It looks like your dad would like you to buy something.
Okay.
This time around, buy a condo. So you have a place, yours. And,
yeah, right. That's what I was thinking. That would be much better.
So that you have something that, you know, no matter what, you have a place to live.
Right, right.
And, you know, they're a lot cheaper there. And
they are. That's amazing.
And
I can't
even believe
it.
You're probably paying in rent. You can pay mortgage in Arizona on a condo.
Yeah. Oh, even less than my rent. Yep.
So your dad says there's no question about buying, okay? He wants you to buy.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Even, you know, I know you're going to meet this man, so who knows? Maybe you'll end up renting out the condo later and moving somewhere else with him or whatever, but the point is it's a good either rental income or just a woman needs to feel some security at your age that no matter what, she has a place to live.
Right, right.
I mean,
that's
just, you'd be surprised how much that goes a long way. And then you'll feel like it's yours, belongs
that's
to
right.
you.
That's
your dad
true.
Thinks
that's
you
true.
Should take some of the money from the sale of their house.
Right.
And put it down as a down payment. You know, would your mom agree with that?
Yes, she would. She said, whatever you want to do, she told me.
Well, and remember, half of that's your dad's money. So your dad's like, listen to me, okay? Like, I want you to, and remember, he was apologizing to you. You know, he just feels like if he were here, he'd be able to help you make these decisions.
Right.
And
right.
Now you have to make them all on your own. But he's grateful for this time to talk to you. Because he's just saying, get by that. Please make him happy. He already kind of has a place picked for you in his mind. So,
oh, good.
And when you walk in there, you're probably going to get a sign from him somehow that this is what he's picked. So, always pay attention to those signs. Write down what your ideal place would be like. Like when I got a divorce and I had to find a condo to live in. I said to God, you know, how much money I could afford. I wanted a dishwasher, air conditioning, relatively new. And the joke was a lake and a walk through the woods. Well, it took me 2 months of living there because I was so busy to realize there was a lake and a walk through the woods.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's great.
So just write down the specifics. Then you know Spirit helped you find it.
Wonderful. Does he think my brothers are going to be mad that I'm doing this?
Your brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said they probably will be mad, but that's not your problem. You're not your brother's keeper. Okay, you got to do what's best for you and your mom. Okay, your father said clearly do what's best for you and your mom. Okay?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
They don't worry about you all that much, by the way.
Never. Never.
Okay, so it's that time. This year, do him a favor and say this prayer. Pray to do what's best for everyone, including yourself.
Okay.
And don't worry about them. Okay? You know, your father's not a huge fan of your brothers right now, so just do what you got to do.
Yeah, I'm sure he sees what's going on, so.
Yeah, he's not a fan, okay? That's what he just said to me. Cindy, I'm just not a huge fan. Okay? So
okay.
You fill
I'm
in the dots with that. You fill in the dots with that, okay? You know? I would hate if a dead person said, I'm not a fan of yours. I would. That would be disturbing to me, but it's the truth. So,
yeah.
Sad. Well, thank you for calling in. We're just about at the end of our show, so before Blog Talk blows us off the air.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you for calling in.
Okay,
bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Nicole, thank you for the margarita laugh tonight and the sales pitch for the tomatoes and the zucchini. You know, I think that was good. And, you know, we had a fun show. It seemed to revolve a lot around careers today, interesting enough. So you never know, and again, career and love, that's our thing. And thank Jean Steele for always helping us when we need
Jean's
another opinion.
Best.
I know, she's
we
the best. And sometimes, you know, me who's not applied for a job in 40 years, sometimes other than that I helped people with this, so I know about it from, like, a job standpoint. But, you know, I haven't 40 years, so I need people to understand, you know, what kind of questions they ask now. I like the way the cell phone, do you use, how important is the cell phone? I wouldn't even have known they would ask that question.
That's crazy.
You know? That's crazy, right?
I've been at the same place. I mean, you know, what's actually funny, though, too, is it all depends on the industry that you're in. Because my boss, I can tell you right now, if he sees that a message was sent to me, and he sees that it was read, no matter what time it was read, he will ask me why I didn't reply. And it doesn't matter what time of day or night it is. So, it really depends on the industry.
Right, that's my business because I am attached to my phone because I have to be able to answer if they want a reading, if they need the directions, if they're lost. So my cell phone is like attached to my retina at this point.
You're just going to get that contact lens in your eye where you just see it streaming all the time.
Don't laugh. It'll probably be in the future, won't it?
That actually will be. And actually, if anybody is out there, it's like sort of like a sci-fi thing, you know, in the near future, go and watch Black Netflix. And there's actually one called Nosedive with Ron Howard's daughter. I recommend that for everybody because it's like everything that we just talked about, Cindy. I mean, it really, really is a great episode. So Black Mirror, watch Nosedive, and you'll be like, holy shit, this is where we're going.
Wow. Isn't that funny? Well, thank you, everybody.
They're only like short episodes, so you're good.
Oh, good. All right, well, we'll all speak next week. Have a happy summer. Happy summer days. I mean, we're at happy first day of summer. I mean, this is wonderful, isn't it?
Oh, that's right. We're cusp. Yep, absolutely.
Summer solstice.
Happy summer.
Imagine we did our show on the summer solstice.
You did a wonderful
and we didn't even
job
mention
today.
It. I know. It was like it was a new beginning kind of day. I felt like there was a lot of new beginnings for people.
It's
you know,
so
a
good.
Lot of. All right, we'll speak next week. Good night, everybody.
Bye, Cindy.